Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We are blessed to be here. We ask, O God, for another wonderful time in your presence. Touch every life in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give Jesus a big hand clap. And you may be seated. This morning, I want to start sharing a message with you. What it means is that it's going to be a series, a short one, I'm sure. But the title of it is How to Handle Failure and Disappointments. How to Handle Failure and Disappointments. And we're going to read a lot of scriptures, so I'm warning you in advance. And it should not be a problem if we have to read a lot of scriptures in the house of God. I mean, where else should we read them? Okay? So, let's roll. It's quite a lot, but every one of the scriptures we're going to read is important. So, please flow with me. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. John, James' brother. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and can you read the last one with me? Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Now ask your neighbor, is your name in the list? And why did your mother or your father not give you one of the names mentioned here? It's a very unfortunate thing. All right. So you can adopt one of the names. Ask your neighbor, which of the names do you want to add to your names? You give him Simon. His brother. All right. And then Elvis, what name will you give him? James is there. Your name appeared twice. Wow, that's wonderful. All right, let's continue. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 to 16. So take note of Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. All right? Now, what any of the others did was not mentioned. Maybe the closest will be Simon the Zealot, and then of course Matthew the tax collector, you know. But Judas' own is quite striking, and the Bible is taking pains to show us what he did. So Matthew 26, verse 14 to 16. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the price, the usual price for a slave. So take note that our Lord and Savior was sold for the price of a slave. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. All right? So Judas has appeared again. Now jump to verse 45. Verse 45 to 49. Then he, this was Jesus, came to the disciples. Now he had gone with them to the Garden of Gethsemane to go and pray. And the only thing they did was to sleep. All right? So after praying a bit, he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priest and elders of the people. The traitor, Jesus, another description for him, traitor, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed and gave him the kiss. Matthew 27, verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse, which means that he repented in a way, okay? So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priest and the elders. "I have sinned," he declared, "for I have betrayed an innocent man." "What do we care?" they retorted. "That's your problem." Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple. And what did he do? He went out and hanged himself. All right. Enough of Judas. Let's look at somebody else. Because when you read a lot about Judas, you can easily get depressed. But I wonder what we're about to read will encourage us. All right. Back to Matthew chapter 26. Let's read from verse 31. Matthew 26, 31 to 35. On the way, so they were now returning from the garden of Gethsemane. I think so. I need to verify. But on the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight, all of you will desert me." All of you will do what? All right. What does it mean to desert? Abandon. All right. Good. "For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." And then Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. All of them said what? "We will never deny you. We will never abandon you." Now, verse 55. We haven't finished reading, no. We read a lot. Verse 55 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus said to the crowd, so to the crowd that came to arrest him, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day." But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. Take note of this. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. A few verses earlier, what did they tell Jesus? They told Jesus, "You will never walk alone." How many Liverpool supporters are here? Wow. How many PSG supporters are here? Okay. Ah, is that Sir Ram at the back? But you know, be Manchester City's supporter. He be Barca. He what? Inter beats Barca, so he has a problem with. Okay, all right, understand. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Arsenal is here. Please leave them alone. Leave Arsenal alone. Go to verse 69 of Matthew 26. And we're going to read to verse 75. So after they had all deserted him, Peter felt ashamed. So he retraced his steps to where Jesus was being interrogated. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you are talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. All right, so he was making his matter worse. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Now, the situation is getting worse. He swore. "I swear on my mother's grave. A curse on me if I..." So you see, if you want to swear, swear. But don't invoke curses on yourself. You are just worsening the situation. He said, "A curse on me if I'm lying." And he was lying. "I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Go, crow, go! Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. Everybody say, "Oh." Now, let's go to something a little more inspiring or maybe encouraging. Matthew 16, verse 6 to 7. This is the resurrection of Jesus. "But the angel said to the women who went to the graveside," because it's the women who appeared first, all right? The men were nowhere to be found. "And what did the angel say to them? Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples." Now, something curious is done here, including Peter. Peter is picked out. I mean, after all, he was one of the disciples, wasn't he? Why was his name mentioned particularly? And notice that there is no insignificant detail in the Bible. He said, "Tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." John 21, verse 15 to 17. John 21, verse 15 to 17. "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter." So now what had happened? A few days after Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, Peter told the others, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We'll come along with you." And they toiled hard, but they caught nothing. Then suddenly they heard a voice calling out to them from the shore. And it was like, "Friends, have you caught anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then he said, so throw down your nets on this other side, you will catch. And as soon as they did so, they caught a lot of fishes. Then one of the disciples, John, I believe, said, it is the master. It is Jesus. So Peter, when he heard that, jumped into the water and got to the shore, realized it was Jesus. The others rowed and also got there. And when they got in, Jesus had actually prepared some wonderful breakfast. He had grilled fish. He had added pepper, onions, tomatoes, garlic. What else did he add? Ginger. Yeah. What else did he add? And maybe something else to spice it up. A little salt, of course. Turmeric. Is it okay to add turmeric? Oh, you can add turmeric. Put your hands together for the chef, Pastor James. So one of these days, he will open a food joint around here, and I want to encourage you to patronize it when he does. What will he call it? Kekeli's food joint. So Jesus had grilled fish, and it was smelling very nice. So after breakfast, verse 15 of John 21, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than which these? Was he referring to the fish? Because Jesus used to be a fisherman. Or was he referring to the other disciples? Probably was referring to the other disciples. Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Then Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, now he wasn't too sure. Lord, you know everything. I'm sure you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Amen. Have you had enough of the scriptures? If you had said yes, I would have been offended. So say no. Okay, let's read more. Psalms 37. Verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hallelujah. How many good men and women are here today? All right. How many born again people are here today? It means that you're a good person. You are righteous. Because one of the benefits of your salvation is that the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus has been imputed to you. So you shouldn't hesitate when the question is asked. Are you righteous? Are you good? Your hand must shoot up confidently. Even though you insulted somebody a few days before. But your hand should still go up. Okay? Because it's not by works. So it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And the final scripture. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, verse 16. The godly or the righteous may trip seven times. This is the New Living Translation. But they will get up again. They will do what? They'll get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. So now, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. What is your response? All right. So let's talk. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Judas? Betrayal. Is that not so? Yeah. You see, the name Judas is actually a derivative of the name Judah. And it means praise or praise God. So it is not a bad name. But have you gone for any naming ceremony of a baby boy who was named Judas? Has anybody gone for any such naming ceremony? Can I see by show of hand? It was called Judas, not Judah, Judas. But why? The name is a good name. It has a good meaning. So why don't we call our children Judas? What's the reason why? Because even though it's a good name and it has a good meaning, somebody has spoiled the name. The only Judas I know was a boxer from Bukum. There were three brothers. Judas Clothi. What was the other guy's name? There are two. There's a comedian called Judas. There was. He's no longer around. May he rest in peace. All right, but something has happened to the name Judas. And may I submit to you that the name Judas has a better meaning than the names of some of you here. But nobody would want to call his son Judas. Why? Because he's known as the one who betrayed Jesus. He failed his master. He disappointed his master. Jesus did not casually select his 12 disciples. He spent the night praying. When you are employing people to work in your shop, do you pray all night? But maybe we should. Because some of the people you are bringing in are witches and wizards. So you should pray about it. Jesus prayed all night before, out of the lot, the people who were associating with him, he selected the 12 that they may be with him. And Judas was one of the 12. He was also very trusted, because when Jesus was appointing his cabinet ministers, he made him the minister of finance. That position is a very critical one. You don't just put anybody there. And usually the one you would choose to be the minister of finance in charge of the treasury is somebody you trust probably more than anybody else. So Judas was loved, Judas was trusted, but he failed his master and he disappointed him. But I want to draw your attention to something that often we gloss over. He was not the only one who betrayed Jesus. He was not. Judas was not the only one who failed him. He was not the only one who disappointed him. All of them, all the disciples, and you read it, they deserted him. And I asked you, what is the meaning of the word desert? You said abandon. And when you abandon somebody, you betray the person. You failed him. You disappointed him. All of them, without exception. But probably the one that was very some way was Peter's. Because he was the loudest. And he was the one who spoke and said, look at John, James, Thaddeus, Bartholomew, and the other Simon. They will desert you. Now, this one is also called Simon, like I'm called Simon, but I'm very different from this one. All of them may disappoint you, but me, I never disappoint you. I am prepared even to die for you. He told Jesus, you will never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. That was Peter. Fast forward. Jesus was being interrogated. And after running away, shamefacedly, he sneaked back to the courtyard where he was being tried. It was very cold, so he was warming himself. A little girl goes up to him. Papa, Papa, I know you. You are one of Jesus' disciples. I know you. I know you because the day you were sharing the bread and the fish, I asked you for extra fish. You did your hand like this and knocked me. Small girl, go away. You like food too much. So I remember you. You are one of them. He said, me. Me. It's not true. Then another girl came to say the same. And then this time, he made an oath. He said, I declare by the mighty hand of Jehovah, the one who created the heavens and the earth, all that is seen and unseen, I don't know this man. Number three, some people standing by were analyzing him, his looks, his accent, and everything. I said, actually, this guy, he'd be one of his disciples. He said, I swear by my father's canto. I swear. He said, let me be cursed. Let me be cursed. Peter should say thank you to Jesus, that Jesus became a curse for us, so that we can escape the curse of the Lord. Otherwise, it would never have been well with him. He said, let me be cursed if what I'm saying is not true. This man, I have never seen him since the day my mother born me. I've never seen him anywhere before. And I explained to them, do I look like his type? Do I look like somebody who will associate with this riffraff? Immediately he finished his ministry, the cock crowed. Did the cock crow or it crew? It crowed. Are you sure? Okay. I felt like saying the cock crew. It crowed. Okay. Thank you, my English teacher. Immediately he finished the denial, the cock crowed. And Peter, the Bible says, he went away and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. It's quite some way, isn't it? But I've given you this narration, stressing maybe more on Peter's case. But the point really is this, that all of them betrayed Jesus. They failed him and they disappointed him. But if you were to look at Judas and Peter, you can say that both of them betrayed Jesus. But it is obvious from the account that Judas did not end up well, but Peter did. Both of them failed the master. Both of them disappointed the master. Both of them abandoned him. And to be abandoned is one of the most painful experiences in this life. When people you love, people you've been there for, people that you've cared about, turn their backs on you. It's a very wild thing. And both Judas and Peter did so. The other thing you can say about the two of them is that both of them repented in a certain sense. Because I drew your attention that Judas was filled with remorse. And he actually went back to try and see whether he could correct the situation. He went to tell the people that I have betrayed an innocent man. Take your money back and give me my Lord. And they said, gal out. Gal out. We have already, it's not our matter. He threw the coins down. But then he went to do something terrible. He went and hanged himself. He committed suicide and he killed himself. So he failed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. He repented, but he killed himself. He didn't recover. Compare and contrast with Peter. Peter also repented. He also failed Jesus. He also disappointed him. But he repented. And you can see from the scriptures that I read that he ended up well. He was restored. He became a changed man. And he's one of the famous heroes of the Bible. He failed. Yes, he did. He disappointed God. He did. But he recovered. And he made it. And became great. How many times did he deny Jesus? 3 times. Now, did you notice that when Jesus sat with them after breakfast, he asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" So there was one, "Do you love me?" for every betrayal, for every denial of Jesus. So in essence, what Jesus was telling, "You betrayed me 3 times. I've reinstated you. So just get back and continue with the assignment that I've drawn up for you." Hallelujah. Amen. He recovered. And he did well. So now, this is the message in what I have just shared with you for every one of us. In this life, all of us will have a fair share of failure and disappointments, because it's an imperfect world. It's a very tricky world. And all of us, without exception, will have encounter with failure and disappointment. Because the truth is that failure and disappointment are inevitable experiences of this life. Now, how is it going to happen? You may be the failure, or you may fail. You may fail yourself, you may fail somebody. You may disappoint yourself or disappoint somebody. Or the people around you, friends, loved ones, people you trusted, people you believed in, may fail you and may disappoint you. But whoever you are, you will have an encounter with failure and disappointment. How many have experienced failure and disappointment in your life before? And keep your hand up. All right. Oh, keep your hand up, because I'm watching you. Now, I want to prophesy to those of you whose hands are still down that your time will come. Your time will come. Maybe you are still young. So that's why you cannot relate much with what I'm saying. But that time will come. Because everybody in this life will have an encounter with failure and disappointments. You may fail in an exam. You may fail in ministry. You may fail in business. Sometimes you try to start a business, it doesn't go well. It's a kind of failure. Is that not so? You may fail at your workplace. You may fail in marriage. You may fail in friendships and in your relationship with other people. And the list goes on. goes on. It goes on. But I want to say this to you, my friends. How you deal with the failure and the disappointments will greatly influence how you end up. Because there are people who never recover from their failure, from their disappointments, and never become what God wants them to become. They are never able to forge ahead and to press on. And it's a very common occurrence. But you can decide that I failed, yes. I was a disappointment, yes. People have failed me, true. People have disappointed me, also true. But I refuse to allow these experiences to keep me down and under. I will arise. No matter how painful it was, how difficult it was, how distressing it was, I'm not going to allow it to cripple me. You can do that. So in the case of Judas, he didn't recover. Now, it is true that in a certain sense, it was determined that Judas was going to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew, when he was appointing him the finance minister, he knew that out of the 12, this will be the guy who will show me power more than all these others. He knew, but he still appointed him. Now, the fact that Peter was accepted back suggests very strongly to me that you never mind this thing about Judas was destined to rebel. But if Judas had truly stayed a certain course and after repenting, had done certain things and operated in a certain way, I believe that there's a possibility that he could have been received back. Because God is no respecter of persons. And he said, a broken and a contrite heart, I'm not going to reject. So they both failed. They both disappointed their Lord and Master. But Peter recovered. And Judas did not end up well. So then it raises the question of how do we handle failure and disappointment so that we can recover from them? And remember what I said. You may be the source of the failure and the disappointment, or somebody close to you, somebody around you, somebody in your environment, somebody you love may be the one failing you or disappointing you. Now, whichever one it is, you must recover. So how do you handle, how can we deal with failure and disappointments? So I'm going to start telling you how to deal with them. You know, after working with the Lord for some time, I kind of know when he's prompting me to do certain things. I can't fully explain it to you, but I just know. And there are messages that he stirs up at different times, all right? And this is one of them. And there must be a reason for it. Yeah, there must be a reason for it. So how do we handle or deal with our failures and disappointments? Number one, and I'll just stay with this for today. Number one, do not deny what has happened. Acknowledge and accept it. Do not deny what has happened. Acknowledge and accept it. That's one of the first steps to dealing with failure and disappointment in your life. Don't deny that it has happened. Acknowledge it. And accept that this thing actually happened. Because it's very easy to live in self-denial. It is very easy to try and block out so many things. Because the thought of the thing really disorients you. But to be able to recover from the failure and disappointment, you need not to deny what has happened. Don't deny it. acknowledge and accept it. I've read quite a lot of scriptures, so I'm not going to read this one. Write it down. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13 to 24. 1 Samuel 15, 13 to 24. And then 2 Samuel 12 to 13. These two scriptures talk about the first and the second kings of Israel. Who was the first king of Israel? Pardon? Saul. And who was the second king? David. So in the two scriptures that I gave you, there is an account about them. Both of them, along the line, in the course of their kingship, they failed. They disappointed God. Both of them. Saul did. David did. Let's talk about Saul. So one day he was going into battle. He was given an instruction. God gave him an instruction through the prophet Samuel that I want to deal with the Amalekites because they were very wicked to my people when they were traveling to the promised land. And my instruction is that attack their towns and kill everybody, both old and young, male, female, pregnant, virgin, everybody, kill. And kill every living thing. Kill all. Anything that breathes that you find in that town, kill it. That was the instruction. Now, Saul attacks the towns of the Amalekites. And he saves their king. He saves him. The instruction was to do what? Kill all of them. He saves him. And not just that, but he also reserves the best cows and goats and sheep. So Samuel shows up. And as soon as Samuel shows up, Saul goes to meet him cheerfully. I have done everything that you said I should do. What can I make bina? We are done. I've sorted them. A mission accomplished. And then Samuel asked him, but I can hear a lot of moo. Meh. Meh. You know the difference? One is goat, one is sheep. I can hear a lot of that. I said, oh, man, we just decided that we are going to keep the best of the animals. We want to offer a special sacrifice to God. We know that God likes meat. So we want to give God a treat, special treat. So I decided that, and the people were in agreement. In fact, they were the ones who suggested that we should keep the very best and offer some powerful sacrifice to God. The scripture doesn't say so, but I'm sure that Samuel also asked them, what about the king that you saved? Maybe his response was, oh, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Maybe he got that revelation first, even before the revelator himself, Jesus, came up with it. And he kept insisting that everything that God said I should do, I have done it. Everything. It was when Samuel now started to tell him about God's rejection of him. That's when he admitted that I messed up. But till then, he was in denial. And he didn't end up well. He lost his kingship. And his death was not honorable. It was not honorable at all. After him came David, the man after God's own heart. Great guy. Special. He was a young boy. when he was anointed to be king. And there was somebody who was very close to God. But he also, he missed it. He failed God. And he disappointed God. They were supposed to go into battle. He did not go. And he was taking a stroll on top of the palace walls. Then this chick called Bathsheba, I presume that maybe she thought that everybody was gone. You know how sometimes when you are bathing outside, it is nicer than when you are bathing inside. Most of my days in secondary school, I didn't bath inside. I bathed outside. Frippy. Yeah, it was very nice, you know. He decided to bath outside. So David was taking his stroll. He lifted his head and then shook his head. What did he do? He shook his head because he saw some very powerful things. Say, who that? Say, Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Go, make you go call him for me. Bathsheba. Call him. And you know the rest of the story. But something that David did not anticipate happened. She got pregnant. And she was married to a guy called Uriah, who was one of the mighty men of David. Now, these guys were an elite troop. Very powerful guys who were very committed to David. So now Bathsheba was pregnant. He sent a message that let Uriah come home. He's been gone for long. By all means, when he comes, something will happen. Then quickly, that problem will be sorted out. And this Uriah too, when he came, he didn't go home. So when David thought he was home, he was at the door of the palace. He said, why didn't you go home? Your wife has been waiting for you. He said, I can't go back to my wife. My brothers are fighting. I can't go and blow time. So David knew that the thing was spoiled. So he sent a message to Joab, his army captain, that you know the instruction for soldiers. Obey before complaint. So when this guy comes, when you go to battle, where the battle is thickest, position him there. At the point, give a signal and let the others fall back. And leave him alone. You can imagine the kind of death that Uriah died. Very terrible. Who was the architect of that? The man after God's own heart. Now, he thought that everything was sorted out when another prophet, Nathan, came to him. Now, Nathan, he knows that kings, they don't like being confronted directly about things. So he came with a riddle. He said, riddle. There was a rich man who had a lot of sheep. He had some visitors and needed to prepare mutton soup for them. Instead of selecting one of his sheep, he went in for the sheep of a poor man, his neighbor. Now that sheep was like a beloved daughter to that poor man. He used brute force, seized the guy's sheep, slaughtered it to take care of his visitors. Who am I? Now, David reacted instantly. Said, I don't know who it is. But whoever it is must be severely punished. I mean, how? Then Nathan said, all correct, sir. It is you. It is you. It is no one else but you. It is you. It is you. It is no one else but you. Immediately he said that, David's heart smote him. And his response was, it's true. There was no denial. There was no attempt to argue his way through it. He acknowledged it and accepted it. Right there, he received mercy. The consequences still came, but he received mercy. That's why he composed Psalm 51, where he said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. The thing is this, if you look at both kings, I'm sure that for us, we may feel that what David did was worse than what Saul did. How many of you think so? From a natural perspective, all right? Because Saul, what did he do? He saved a life. What did he do? He organized a sacrifice. David committed adultery and murder. And we all take that to be the wildest of sins. But he recovered. Saul did not. And one of the reasons why David ended up well and Saul did not is because he did not deny. He accepted it. He acknowledged what had happened. And God showed him mercy. And what great mercy he received, that even the Son of God, our Savior, is called the Son of David. And amazingly, he came through the line of Bathsheba. I don't understand God's things sometimes. But I shouldn't be surprised that I don't understand. Because the Bible says his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And David ended up well. Saul did not. The difference between the two, of one of the things that stands out as something that made the difference between them, is that David did not deny. He acknowledged and accepted that I've blown it. I've missed it. I made a wrong call of judgment. And God showed him mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to be able to handle our failures and our disappointments in this life, one of the things that we have to learn how to do is not to deny the things that have happened to us. You were abused. Terrible things were done to you. You were rejected. You failed. You did this. You did that. You shouldn't deny it. Don't live in self-denial of these things. Acknowledge and accept them, because it's one of the steps to your recovery and to your well-being. Next week, Sunday, by the grace of God, we'll move on and look at the other things. Rise to your feet. Let us pray. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You will never find purpose for your life until you take that step. And the only thing that will bring meaningness and fulfillment into your life is when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to surrender your life to Him and to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You may be physically present here. You may be watching us online, but you need Jesus in your heart and in your life. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. Wherever you are, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, every head should be bowed and every eye should be closed. If your eyes are open, I will accuse you of being something. All right? As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. You may be watching me. You're somewhere in your room watching me. I can't see you, but God can see you. And because God can see you, He can reach out to you wherever you are. Lift up your hand where you are, and God will come into your life. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want us all to pray this prayer together, wherever we are. Let's pray this prayer with a lot of faith. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Today, the 1st of June, 2025, I am saved. I stand for Jesus. I will live for him as long as I live. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.